if you love the music and listen to songs, every song that was written, either in the Bible or on the radio or wherever you listen to yours, is a testimony about life and about what the person thinks about God or people or, you know, the cat who ran away or something like that. He shows up often in country music. I guess those awards are coming tonight, so listen for the cat song and so forth. But a lot of heart goes into testimonies in song. Psalm 17, Psalm 18. Songs probably Jesus sang. Songs that King David sang. And really, 17 and 18 fit real good together. They are the soul in trouble finding strength from God. The soul in trouble finding strength from God. The old song in the 60s. I got troubles, I got worries, I got wounds to bind. And when I woke up this morning, you were on my mind. Okay. Hopefully it was the Lord on the mind if they had the troubles and the worries. But here's King David. He says, hide me in the shadow of your wings. He says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress. An old hymn, the Lord our rock, in him we hide. You should be hiding every day in the Lord. Okay, don't face life on your own. Don't face troubles on your own. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide. Shelter in the time of storm. Charles Spurgeon comments on these psalms. The Christian is not a delicate petunia or a delicate flower in the greenhouse of God. Okay, our life is not set by us controlling the atmosphere. Turn the heat down, it's too tough. You know, turn the heat up, it's too cold. We can't do that in the circumstances of our life. That's all in the Lord's hands. And so we don't control those things, but God makes the Christian a tree exposed to the harshest of weather. That's our calling. A tree exposed to the harshest of weather. Storms, wind, floods, sapping dry heat. The tree is made strong by God alone, and even evergreen in the midst of harsh winter. So God's making you fruitful from him, evergreen in the rough times you and I have. And one of the lessons of Psalm 17 and 18 is this, and it's not an easy lesson, but shows the faithfulness of God. When we are broken and when we are in trouble and not in the greenhouse of protection, we often serve God better. We serve God better when we're broken and when we're in trouble and not in the greenhouse of protection. Lord knows we need the greenhouse of protection. We need him to lead us occasionally by still waters and to restore our soul. But at least half our days and maybe more we're in the storm. And so if we're not relying on the rock and the Lord to keep us strong, we're going to fall rather quickly. And so often we know God better when we fall and fail, because we know we need him. When we succeed and think we stand, then we fall. Interesting, if you look back at all major problems in major church life or church ministries, they usually happened when fellowships were really riding high. Okay? Things were going really good. People were flocking to praise God and so on. And then people started to rely on themselves, and then boom. Something really bad happened. They were perhaps standing on their own strength, not saying, oh, I'm gonna trust the Lord instead. So beware of a self-centered success, and instead trust the Lord in the storm you're in. King David, on his own, he realized he was going to fall. In Psalm 17, he says there's bad things coming against him. Men of violent ways, mortal enemies, trying to kill him, literally, those of callous hearts. People say, you know, today, the world is a cold place, hard. How can people be so heartless? And people hungry for prey. Chew you up, you know, if you're in their way, like a hungry lion. But in Psalm 17, going to Psalm 18, you see God just come to rescue David in all his trouble and even in all his sin. Psalm 20 or 17, the Lord's referred to 20 times in Psalm 18. He's referred to 80 times. Could you imagine writing a song where you refer to the Lord 80 times? You'd say, that's a good song, you know. And that's a praise that you and I can have in our heart when we get to know the Lord. So that's Psalm 18. Listen to these things. David, just on a run, he just starts listing the things that God does for him when he's in big trouble. He says, God heard my voice. Here's our heart. God was angry. So God takes up our defense. Isn't it good to know God has a holy anger? He is doing something about the evil in the world. You know, he's not sitting there thinking, well, I'll just wait till my people get moving. No, he's moving, and then we join him. He parted the heaven. He rode the cherubim. He flew on the wind, soared on the wind. He made darkness. So there's times when God says, you've got to walk through this darkness. He made brightness. His presence advanced. That's in Psalm 18. In other words, as the lady sang, you know, we become more and more aware of God's presence. He took hold of me. He reached down. He shot arrows. He rescued me. Do you ever think, like, today we would all perish and go in eternal judgment without the grace of God? That's a Bible truth. It'll change our gratitude, change our mercy toward others. You know, oh, God just saved me from hell. I'll probably love you a little more than I did before I knew that. You know, he brought me into a safe place. He delighted in me. This is all the things God's doing on David's behalf. He's called faithful, blameless, pure. His words are flawless. He's wise. And he arms me with strength. So there's battles to be fought. I don't want to know what my battles will be in the future, but I know for you and I, God will be our strength. David had that confidence. So here's some of David's testimony. He'd share this from the heart with us. He says to the Lord, I will call upon you, O Lord, O God, O Savior. There's that intensity you can have toward the Lord. I shall behold your face. There's a confidence that, hey, in the end, I'm going to land safely on heaven's shore by the grace of God. I shall be satisfied with you. We'll get contentment as we look at God. And then I love you, Lord. A big deal. One of the songs made into a chorus. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. I'm saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. We stole that from King David. And then, I love you, Lord. Such an important thing. To love God means we're glad to obey him. What a great thing to know that we could love God at any moment of the day, regardless of our emotional health or commitments. In other words, when David wrote, I love you, Lord, he just wasn't feeling good about God. You know, our love for the Lord involves feelings, but so much more than feelings. Okay, God doesn't ask his children, you know, just feel real good about me. If you feel real good about the Lord, you know you love him. Well, that may be part of it, but he would rather have you love him by obeying him. Okay, as the Bible says, obedience is better than any sacrifice or any act of worship. And so to love God, you love the people around you, and you love the Lord that way, and that's how you say, I love you, Lord. So great opportunity for obeying his word. You think of the story of the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite probably had a lot of warm feelings toward God. Certainly knew their Bibles very well. But they didn't really love the Lord by helping the guy in the ditch. And so David says he's going to cry for help. He was given strength, and then death surrounds him again. God didn't take him out of the trial. He was still, okay, Lord, you're going to help me. That's good. How does the Lord respond to David's desperate testimonies and true faith in God? Well, the Lord, he said, he will answer. He'll show his steadfast love. That's an unfailing love that you and I can count on. And then this, I was going to say furious, but real repetitious. David was on a roll with his poetry here and perhaps rap music. Who knows? My rock, hide me. You're my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He starts saying things that he's known about God. My shield, my stronghold, the horn of my salvation. A horn is like you either blow it to proclaim it. God, he helped me. He's everything to me. And horn or horn, something to hold on to. No matter what, we're trusting God. Remember the my stronghold part. Remember in the Bible, stronghold is used most often about the Lord. The Lord. Secondarily about evil. So you do the same in your language as you teach about stronghold. What's a stronghold? First thing that comes to mind, God is my stronghold. Much bigger than any other stronghold out there. That's for sure. And so make him your place of safety. My rock, I like the my rock illustration. It reminded me of when we would take hikes in the Laurel Mountains. There are certain places you hike, you go. It usually seems you go uphill a lot. And often there's one place where you climb this hill and it's hot and you sweat and the heat increases all over the place. But you come to this area where there's massive rocks. And I remember thinking, if we could just get to the rock, you know. Because those rocks, they provide shelter. They provide shade. They provide moisture, because the moisture gathers around the rock. You know, the temperature's like 10 degrees cooler around that rock, you know, that you could get to. Oh, rocks are a big deal if you're out in the woods, you know. And even the bears like the rocks, you know, they hide in the rocks and the snakes and so on. But the rock, our Lord, shelter, shade, protection. We'll get life from him, my rock. Very good. And David felt so good about it, I wanted to mention these songs we sing. Earlier he goes, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. He's my strength and my shield. He gives power to all. I am free from condemnation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Yeah, that's a song we sing in praise of God. So, the Lord our rock, in him we hide. He's certainly a shadow of a great rock in a dry and thirsty land. And that's all the Lord telling us about himself here. Here's some more. He's worthy of praise. Again, we don't know how God will lead. He sends darkness. You know, if you thought, well, it was just everything against you. No, sometimes God sends darkness so that you realize you need the light. There's brightness he sends. Thunder, hailstones, that's lightning too. Rescues us moment by moment. He's our perfect Savior. Trains for battle. Again, more battles to fight, and his unchanging love. So David is saying, his great love is sustaining me, you know, all the way to heaven. And what I wanted to do for the closing of the sermon is to ask for additional testimonies from four deceased people here. Charles Wesley, Isaac Watts, A.B. Simpson, and Fanny Crosby. I quoted them in reference to the cross. Now I do so in reference to God's love, which is the saving motive for him toward you and I. So listen to what these dear Christians said about the Lord because we kind of say the same things in our walk, in our testimony. So here's Isaac Watts. He wrote 750 hymns. He put the Lord's love in a lot of them. And just to put apples to apples, Chris Tomlin, real great singer, been writing and singing for 20 years. I think he sang or wrote about 200 songs. 200. Isaac Watts, 750. Okay. So Chris Tomlin, he'll have to be singing about 50 more years to catch up to the Isaac Watts. Okay. Just giving credit to the old timers there. And then, so here's Isaac Watts talking about God's love. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. To think that God's he'd give his life at the cross, you know. This is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross song. So he calls you, when you know God loves you, your soul, your life, your all. Real neat thing to do on the internet if you're an animal lover. You go on and where it says animals who never received love or dogs receiving love for the first time, cats and so forth. And it's heartbreaking. You get these animals in shelters who were never loved. And people go in to touch them or to give them something. And they cringe. You know, it's like when somebody hears God loves them. Oh, you know, no, I don't know. What is that? What is it? What is it? And then the person keeps showing love. And the creature, you know, pretty soon it has life. Oh, life, you know, and it starts to love back. Love back. And that's the Christian, you know. God loves you. Oh, you know. But you should see what I know. But you're going to hit me, aren't you? Oh, God loves you. And oh, then the Christian starts to love back. Love back. There he is. And, you know, demands our soul, our life, our all. We kind of get it out there. And Watts wrote, Jesus rules the world with truth and grace, makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, the wonders of his love. It just takes your breath away. There. Here's Isaac Watts again. He associated God's love with the cross. If I forget God loves me, he's shown, look, I give my son for you. Crimes I've done, yes. He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, love beyond degree. Our love so faint, so cold to God, and his so great to us. Someday you and I will have the opportunity to show the great love of God by actually loving our worst enemy. Okay, now you picture who that is. It might be yourself. It might be, you know, somebody or something. And God's call is to love your enemy. And this is what Jesus did on the cross. He loved his enemies. That love dwells in your heart and my heart, so we can say, here goes, you know. You just leave the results to God. And it's amazing pity and grace unknown. And then he associated with the love of God with missions. Peoples and realms of every tongue dwell on his love with sweetest song. I don't know how many languages do that now, probably about 2,000. 2,000 languages and 240 nations, something like that. But a lot of love from God going back to him. That's all Isaac Watts. We're going to do A.B. Simpson. Love that gave himself for me. Help me love and live like thee. Kindle in this heart of mine the passion fire of love divine. John Piper, a crusty retired pastor. All retired people are crusty, you know. No, that's not true. He says he prays to be reminded that God loves him when he eats his Cheerios. Lord, thank you for these Cheerios, and thank you that you love us. Lunchtime hot dog. Thank you for this hot dog, and that you love us. Supper hamburger. Same. Here's a guy saying, I can't follow the Lord good unless I know he loves me. This will help you. And here's Simpson again. Was there a story so moving, story of love and pain? Was anybody so loving to seeking our hearts to gain. That was Jesus. I'm interested in love. Who's the most loving person you know? It's Jesus. By far. If the Lord or the world would take a simple look at him, that would be something. Here's Charles Wesley, wrote even more than Watts and Simpson. Love divine, love's all excelling. Jesus, you are all compassion. Pure, unbounded love you are. These common Christians, you know, they were like, his love rescued me. He associated it with the resurrection. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. So don't think love is like, you know, handing somebody a daffodil. That's good. But it's resurrection from the dead. That's still, we serve a risen Savior. And here he writes, emptied himself of all but love. And then Fanny Crosby, greatest praiser of God of all time. I'll put it that way. 8,000 praises of hymns. Okay. So Chris Tomlin, he'll have to die at age 180 to catch Fanny Crosby. We love Chris Tomlin, but you gotta give credit to the to many praises. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. What are you going to be impacted by when you hear Jesus dies for you? Love and mercy. And then praise him, praise him. Sound his praises. Jesus bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. They kind of ran out of adjectives, I think. Second coming. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. And then, again, anticipation. I'll shout with the millions on high. Hey, you don't have to wait to shout about the love of God. You could do it with your life today. And now it's the billions. Billions on the earth. And then I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. It's just that King David would say, his steadfast love got me through this. And he'll do it for you and I. So be filled with himself and his love. And we're going to close in prayer to praise him one more time. Thank you, Lord, your abiding love right now, and just the different things in the Bible you tell us about. Show your faithfulness to us along the way. Thank you. We are billboards of your love, as it were, and the ambassadors of your grace and truth. So continue to make us like that worn, neglected, abused dog, and as our sin is even worse, that we would love like a set free creature that we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.